Very good. All right, let's get started this morning. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 is going to be our main text. Vince, if you'd get that 2 Timothy 2, 2. Brian, if you'll get 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. David, if you'll get for me 2 Kings 2 and verse 9. Zach, if you'll get Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Then Matt, if you'll get Matthew 11:29. Casey, if you'll get Luke 10:19. And then Daniel, if you'll get for me Acts 19:15. Acts 19:15. Okay, so Pastor Mitchell would often say, and no doubt some of you that have been around have even heard him, remember him saying this to pastors, maybe work it in a sermon, some type of discipleship, sermon, classes, etc. But he'd often use this statement and remind pastors that you minister who you are. So this simple statement, you minister who you are, it teaches us that we are going to impart and transmit what we are into our disciples, into our congregation, whether that be good or bad, what you are is going to be transmitted and imparted. And also, that simple statement reminds us and teaches us that we will not be able to impart or transmit what we're missing. You're not going to be able to put that into someone if you yourself are missing that. So, in our text, Paul, he speaks to Timothy about this idea. He doesn't forthright talk about impartation or transmission, etc. But it's that idea is at work. And this is a key to discipleship. If you are going to effectively disciple, then you are going to need to own some spiritual things. You're going to need to possess it. It's going to have to be in you in order for you to deposit it. So let's look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 2.
You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others.
Okay, so let's look at this, spiritual deposits. Let's set a foundation. Let's think about how ministry is spiritual. Ministry is more than just about things that you do, all right? And discipleship, it's more than about things that you do. There's guys, they think in their head, I pray or I read my Bible. Guys in ministry, I preach, I counsel, I outreach, I follow up, I organize, I do a lot of things. Why do I do those things? Because I'm a pastor, so that's what pastors should do. But those things are actually spiritual. They're supernatural. We do them in the natural, but they have spiritual consequences. They work things out in the supernatural realm. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
Okay, so think about this. This is reminding us, Paul is speaking, the things we do aren't things we just do, right? And that's the mistake guys can make, disciples can make. I'm doing the right things. I'm doing things that are getting me closer to getting sent out or whatever the case, but these are supernatural in their nature. They're not carnal, just of the flesh, Paul says. They pull down spiritual strongholds. So think about our text in 2 Timothy. Paul sends Timothy to pastor a leadership church. Paul sends him to oversee area churches. So in that mission, in that calling that he's placed in, right, he's facing false doctrine. He's dealing with immorality. He has to confront rebellion, which is why Paul is reminding Timothy, do the things I've taught you. Hold on to those things which you heard from me. Fan into flame the gift that was deposited into you. All of those, he's reminding him because the task he's called to do, it's more than just in the natural. He's engaged in spiritual warfare. He is going to need divine enablement. He's going to need supernatural help if he is going to be able to effectively establish the work of God. So that's the same for us this morning. Not only is ministry supernatural then, the things we do, but discipleship. Discipleship is supernatural. The ability for you to go into a congregation if you take over, or the ability for you to go into a city to pioneer and begin to build a work, for you to be able to cultivate men for ministry, that's more than teaching them some methods. That's more than teaching them how does CFM run a service, right? That's liturgies. It's more than formulas. Discipleship, that's a supernatural dimension. For you to begin to invest into men, for men to be able to receive from you, that's going to require a supernatural dimension. 2 Kings 2 and verse 9.
And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.
Okay, here, classic example of spiritual impartation, but what is Elisha asking? Let there be a portion, double portion of your spirit upon me. How's that going to happen? What does that look like? Right? Here, if you're there and you see me go, that's something in the natural, but something supernatural transpired. And it was identifiable, right? Immediately, the sons of the prophets, what do they say about Elisha? The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. He caught something. There was an impartation, but it was supernatural. It took place in a supernatural dimension. I was speaking last night with one of our missionaries, and he's talking about how, I'm trying to work with guys. I want them to catch this discipleship atmosphere. I'm trying to help them to catch what we are. And he's talking about it. I said, yes, exactly. It's a supernatural dimension. Yes, you are contending for it. It's supernatural in its nature. And that's just it. It must be contended for. It must be established. Discipleship is a spirit and an atmosphere. Maybe about 1 year or so after I took over Rochester, I had one of our main disciples who, before I got there, he had made himself available to his pastor probably a year before I got there. So here we are, makes himself available. He does not get launched. I come in a year later, he's talking to me and he says these words. He said, thank God I didn't get sent out before you came. Because ministry was all in my head. Ministry and pastoring, it was a program. The church was a business. Right? And that's how people can view it. It's a business. And there are business aspects. But he said these words, I didn't have a revelation on the spiritual side of ministry. Right? We can miss this is a supernatural dimension. Just because you're part of CFM and you go out and pastor doesn't mean you're going to have an automatic discipleship dimension. That's going to have to be established, contended for. Isaiah 6 and verse 8.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me.
Okay, here's Isaiah and his vision of the throne room of heaven. Think about this. A supernatural event in a supernatural moment. that cultivated atmosphere of calling, and here's the Spirit of God, God himself saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah gets a burden. He gets a heart for ministry. Something happens in him that was supernatural. And he said, here I am, send me. This is something that we have to contend for. Ministry is spiritual. Discipleship is spiritual. So let's think secondly then about spiritual deposits. So not only is there a need to establish discipleship, right? Talking with that missionary, you're going to have to establish that. That's going to have to be fought for and contended for. But you also have to have something in you to deposit. There has to be things at work in you. Verse 2 of our text, Paul writes, says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, he says, commit. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The word commit, it means to make a deposit. Make a deposit. The things that I taught you, right? But really, the things that Timothy caught from Paul, the doctrine, the spirit of ministry and evangelism and soul winning, the all of these factors, that has to be able to be poured out into other men, and we use words like impartation, transmission, right? And so think about this. At the bank, you can only deposit what belongs to you, and you can only withdraw what belongs to you. That's the same of ministry. You're not going to be able to withdraw and deposit into other men what doesn't belong to you, what you don't have ownership of. Right? And so we pass who we are and what we are to others. Matthew 11 and verse 29.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul.
Okay, but think about this first part of this statement. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is Jesus. This is the whole idea of discipleship. It's a learner. Learn from me. Paul writes, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Receive from me. Right? And so here, this is discipleship. Right? Discipleship isn't, the church needs work done around the building. So the disciples come and, clean the yard, or the disciples come and help the pastor work on things. No, discipleship, right? They're receiving from you an impartation that you're depositing. Jesus, right, as he says, learn from me, Jesus also gave them what they needed to be effective. Let's read Luke 10 and verse 19.
Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Okay, behold, I give you. Right? Jesus himself gave what the disciples needed. That is discipleship. Right? It's the link of ministry. And that's what we see, what Paul says. What you receive from me, Paul is a link. From Paul was links to Barnabas and the apostles, right? That goes back, but it also goes forward. What you learn from me, Timothy, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You have to own it if you're going to be able to pass it. It has to be in you, alive in you, at work in you, if you're going to be able to give it to other men. It's going to have to become real in them if they're going to give it to other men, right? So part of transmission involves possession, right? Not demonic possession, right? But you have to own it. You have to own it if you're going to be able to give it. So, this is what we call dominion. This is why in areas of life, you need to establish dominion. Right? If you're going to help people in their marriage, you're going to need dominion in your marriage. Right? I've had people, they have often, people in my churches that I've pastored or pastors in areas around me, they've learned from watching my wife and I just how we interact, just how we talk, just how our family operates. Right? You need dominion in marriage, and then you can be able to impart. Parenting. Right? You need dominion in parenting kids. Every kid is different. Every kid has their own personality. You've got to figure out what works for them. And then you're going to set an example. Right? You're setting an example. People are watching your life, your parenting. They're watching your children, your finances. You're not going to be able to help people with money if you yourself do not have dominion in money. Your fruitfulness. Right? Your character, dominion over sin. You're not going to be able to help someone conquer in areas where you yourself have not conquered. You cannot give what you do not have. And so here, you're not going to be able to work this in. Let's look at an example. Acts 19:15. Okay, here's an example of seven sons of a Jewish priest named Sceva. Right here he is. He tried to exercise authority. These men try to exercise authority over a power that was greater than them. Right, and that didn't work out, did it? The Bible says it, the demon reacts and pounces on them, sends them fleeing naked and wounded. That is a picture of us when we do not have things in our lives. When we do not have dominion. When, right, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? Pastor Greg I know. Pastor Campbell I know, Pastor fill in the blank I know, but who are you? Right, and why should we listen to you? That is something that, this is why you have to get it in you. And so unless you own some spiritual things, you will not be able to impart. You will not be able to disciple effectively. You will not be able to deposit into other men. You will not be a discipler of men. It's one of the tragedies I've seen in some of the areas I've pastored. There are some pastors that are great disciples. Pastors that are good disciples, they honor their pastor, they revere their pastor, they are behind their pastor, but they are not disciplers. That's not going to help the chain of a discipleship. It's not going to continue the work. So it has to be at work in you. So let's look then lastly at building up your spiritual account. So, if this is what you need to have in order to effectively disciple, Pastor Mitchell, you minister who you are, then wisdom would say to build up your spiritual account now. Right? If you're gonna deposit what you are today into men tomorrow, what do your deposits look like right now? Right? What kind of prayer life are you going to deposit into their life? What kind of Bible reading life are you going to deposit into others? What kind of evangelism? What's going to be their heart for evangelism? They're going to get your heart for evangelism. Right? They catch what you are. They catch who you are. So how do we build this up? Number one is we put things to the test now. Put things to the test now. want you to understand, disciples here, you have an opportunity to test your effectiveness like no other disciple has an opportunity in our fellowship. Right? Opportunity that men dream of. I've been able to preach in a few other nations, and I've heard so often guys say, I wish I could just spend even just a month in Prescott. See how things work. See how things are run. See how things are taken care of. See how outreach goes. And so here is this is what that you have this opportunity. You can lead an outreach and see, put things to the test, ideas to the test. Right? You can test your effectiveness and follow up. Right? You can test your effectiveness in such a wide range of areas that you have an opportunity. So, right, wisdom says test it now. What are my deposits going to look like? What if I was pastoring a church today, what am I depositing into people's life? You can test it. Secondly, is you can pray for it. Ask God to give you what you're lacking. God, fill me with what I'm lacking. Help me in the areas where I lack breakthrough. And you know what? In asking that, I'm going to tell you, you might have to go through some things for God to get it in you. Right? Experience sometimes is what you need. Other things can be put in very spiritual, supernaturally. God deposits something in you. Right? For example, I love for the Word of God. I would hear Pastor Greg, when I was a disciple, talk about how he loved the Word of God, how when he caught a revelation on something, it was exciting in sermons that he would be excited to preach because God gave him a revelation in his Word. I remember thinking, man, I don't have that. I need a love for the Word of God. And when he recommended the Life Application Study Bible, I went and got a Life Application Study Bible. And I started reading, and man, when I saw how the Bible applied to my life, I got excited for the Word of God. Part of that was me, part of that was God responding to my prayer. But there's other things that you're going to need, that you're going to pray, God help me, but you're going to have to get some experience. People skills. People skills is something you can pray for. God, give me wisdom with people. Help me work with people. But the only way you're going to get that is by getting involved with people. Right? So there's things you can pray for and things you're going to work through, but ask God to help you and give you what you're lacking. Thirdly is ask questions. Ask questions about anything and everything. When you put things to the test, that should unlock questions. Pastor, I ran an outreach. There was tons of visitors. I preached. No one got saved. Right? Why didn't that work? Why? What happened? What was missing? What was lacking? Pastor, we tried this outreach. You know, have this idea. What do you think? Bouncing questions off. It amazes me. You know, I can come to this table and men don't have questions for their pastor. That to me. I mean, you know, there was times in my ministry I'm calling Pastor Greg daily. And he'll joke, okay, so how are we charging you now for these, right? Because there was a connection. There's things I don't know. So asking questions, gaining insight. Pastor, I'm working with people. I can pray with them, but they don't come. Pastor, I pray with them. They come one service, and then they disappear. You want to find out why that's not working? What needs to happen? How do I develop this? How do I cultivate this? Preaching and ministry. I asked Pastor Greg, I've asked him in the past tons of questions about preaching because to me, he's the most effective communicator that I have ever heard or known. With such wisdom, and he doesn't have a lot of words. He can communicate a thought and break it down in a timely manner, and you leave with revelation. How did you do that? I've asked him questions even since I've been here. That sermon, what inspired it? Where did that sermon come from? How did you come to that point? How did you get to that revelation, right? And that those are the things that make you a better man. Those are the things that give you the wisdom you're lacking. God puts a man, right, that we can glean from, that we can pull from. And so this is how you build up your spiritual account, is you're going to have to ask questions. And you're going to need to also receive those answers. Right? I've seen guys, I've been in areas, man, where Pastor Greg comes and does a sermon workshop, and they're asking a question, but they don't want to really know the answer. Right? See, people, they talk at Pastor, but they don't want to receive. I'm telling you, if you receive it and apply it, you're going to build up that spiritual account and be very effective in ministry. You'll be able to make spiritual deposits, cultivate an atmosphere of discipleship, cultivate an atmosphere of soul winning. When I took over both Santa Fe and Rochester, this dimension of evangelism and discipleship was lacking. But in both places, I was able to leave those dimensions at work. Why? Because it was in me. It got in me, and then I could deposit it into others. Okay. Any questions there? Any thoughts? Something you want to ask? Yeah, Vince?
This is actually kind of a funny question. But you talk a lot about asking questions. What if, sometimes there's like,
yeah, and just in general, or
should I be working hard to come up with?
Yeah, absolutely. There's wisdom in asking questions, and I think too, writing them down. When you write down your questions, then when you're around, your pastor, you can begin to ask them. I was witnessing, and or I was reading my Bible, and there's things in there, right? We don't know, Or maybe things we just don't have a clear understanding of. We might grasp, this is what we do, but why do we do it? Right? When you understand the why and the value of something, you're more apt to preserve it and protect it, right? Instead of, this is what we do. I've heard pastors, oh no, this is just what we do. Okay, but why? Why do we do what we do? You have to understand that. So, and this, any range of things. Write questions down, To me, and this is because of what my pastor taught me, men with no questions are men who are not thinking. Right? They're not thinking. So that's one of those things, is Pastor Greg put it in me as a disciple to ask questions. Yeah, David?
You mentioned getting revelation or gaining dominion in different areas of your life. So how do you gauge that? Because there's sometimes it may be hard for us to tell whether we have dominion in an area or not.
Yeah.
Because we're not exercising every aspect of life or spiritual life every day. So,
for sure.
I mean, like in there's several different areas you mentioned. Evangelism. Finances, mm-hmm. relationships, your family or your marriage,
right.
Your home. How do you actually gauge what you have with you? Because sometimes there can be circumstantial things.
For sure.
Like sickness or like financial assault or something like that. But overall, you should have dominion.
Right.
In those areas. So how do you
gauge? Yeah, so do you, for example, finances, right? There are pastors I have met that have made poor financial decisions, right? And they're in a mess of debt. And then, okay, well, what's the giving like? Well, the giving, they're all in debt, right? And then, okay, when's the last time your church has tithed to their mother church? We haven't tithed for a year. You don't have dominion, right? Like, that's obvious. And so exactly like you're saying is, how do you gauge it? Things come up, absolutely. So when things come up, do you have a cushion? Right? Have you been making wise financial choices? Practical financial choices. Some people have a lack of dominion because spending is therapeutic for them, right? I'm stressed, so I'm going to go spend. Well, you don't have dominion. You have an unhealthy approach in money, right? Etc., etc. Dominion in fruitfulness. Do you have the ability to witness and pray with people? I've pastored people. They are faithful to outreach. I've pastored people, man, they're going to get out there and they're going to talk to people. They have no fear in talking to people. They're not intimidated, but the problem is they don't pray with anyone. That's a problem. You've been saved 20 years, right? You can talk circles around people. You can point them, but something's missing, right? For you to not be able to pray with them, for you to not be able to, you know, get them into church and follow up on them and cultivate a Christian, create, you know, make a disciple, a learner, follower of Jesus Christ. Dominion in your marriage, right? Is your wife happy, right? Or the thing she tells you every single day that you're not doing, right? Okay, I'm not listening, I'm not applying, so I need to work on this, right? And so those are factors. Yeah, life gives us feedback. We just have to be willing to listen to it, right? And then assess it, you know? And so identify what's the problem. How do I get here, right? If it's money, how do I get here? What am I doing? If it's dominion, sometimes you can have the spirit. Sometimes you can have the heart. But maybe you just don't have the words, right? I had a guy who, his tongue was like a sword, right? And he just, it's like, okay, you've killed another convert, right? You need dominion in your people skills. You need to work on it. You need to let God help you, right? And what does that look like? Jesus, there's still many things I need to tell you, but you're not ready for it. Paul, there's still much I need to teach you, but you're not ready for it. That's a gauging. That's a discernment. That's a form of dominion. Another guy I pastored, he had the gift of odd bods. He would bring odd people to church, right? And he wanted a pastor, and I told him one day, I said, look, you want a pastor, I want you to look at your congregation right now, and I want you to look at the people you're bringing, okay? If you build a congregation of the people you're building, it's not going to work out for you. So, and that was something he worked on. Good. Yeah, Casey.
How do you regain dominion? Like if you had it one time and it kind of faded,
yeah.
How do you, like in finances or evangelism?
Yeah, so some of that is practical, right? If it's finances, you need God to help you in your approach towards money, right? You need to take some practicals, make a budget, etc. And then God many times gets involved. I've seen people be in very difficult financial situations, but as I helped them, worked with them, pointed some things out, you have an imbalance in this area, right? You want to live like you're a doctor, but your job is like McDonald's? That's not going to work, right? So you've got to get a balance in where you're at, you know. I had a guy that I pastored for a while there. He would write these pledges, these insane pledges. And it's like, Pastor, I wrote this pledge. I really felt God said. Yeah, but God isn't going to ask you for what you really can't give, right? So it's just this balanced approach. So some of that is practical, you know. Read some books. If it's finances, that's the one you pulled up. Read on budgeting. Read on, that book, Fasting for Financial Breakthrough. Very good book. Very practical. Very basic. 100 pages long. Right? Filled with scripture that's going to help you get an understanding on money. Keep God where he needs to be in money, at the top. And then I've seen God get involved and bring miracle money to help people, say, get out of debt. and balance their books so that they can begin to have dominion. And so that'll be one of those things. Luke 15 is all about lost things being found. That's what God wants to give us, or help us with, find the lost things. And so, yeah, we can find it. It's going to take work. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Very different than dominion.
Okay. And one more thing. Spiritual gifts, can you receive that same gift as the same person working at it, or is that just something given by God?
Yeah, that's something that's given by God, and as Paul writes, seek the best gifts, right? In other words, Pastor Greg has given us a very good interpretation of that. The most appropriate gift for the most appropriate time, right? Someone in a coma doesn't need a word of knowledge, right? So yeah, you can contend for things, but God wants to gift us, right? He deposits something in a moment to be used, right, for a miracle, some type of supernatural breakthrough, gets people into the things of God. Yeah. Good. Any other questions? Yep, Vince.
When pressing into this kind of dominion stuff, I've noticed with myself, my motivations for being, I guess you could say, drawn in and pressing in for things are changing rapidly as I get older. I guess I'm trying to focus more on having the right motivation to do things. Should I be focusing on something in particular? I'm trying to form this question properly.
Yeah.
Motivation.
Yeah, well.
I started with bad motivation.
Oh, right.
You know how it is. God's like, you're like, oh, well, I'm going to sign a contract with God. If I do this, this, and this, he'll give me this physical thing, you know? And that's not how it works.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, we serve God because it's right.
Right.
Right? Because it's right, you know. God never promises happiness. It's not what he promises.
He promises trouble.
You know, and it's one of those things that we don't live for God to make us happy. We live for God because it's right. And so, yeah, we can go into things with the wrong motivations, absolutely. You know, that's possible. People do it for attention. People do it for a sense of power or, you know, I've known pastors that nothing in life goes their way, but they think if I can become a pastor, then I can tell people what to do, right? The problem is that doesn't work either. They don't listen to you, right? And so they don't listen to you because you don't have the right heart. And so we do things because it's right, number one, and as we do that, God deposits his heart into us, right? There were things I did because in the beginning of my discipleship, because I knew it's what I needed to do, but I didn't have a joy in it, right? God loves a cheerful giver, as Pastor Mitchell says, but he'll take money from a sting too, right? And so it's one of those things I would give, but it was very selfish. It was really about me first, right? But as I really began to surrender my life to God, that absolutely changed. My heart is for people. I look for ways to serve people. That wasn't there before. That's a miracle, right? And that's the heart of my pastors. That was the heart of Pastor Mitchell. That is the heart of Pastor Greg, right? And I would learn to do that, give, right? And so, yeah, God did a miracle. Yeah. You might start with wrong motivations, you know, Pastor Payne coined sanctified self-interest, right? Sometimes we do things selfishly at first, but we catch revelation later.
I started with guilt.
Yeah, and that...
You've been in this church for this long and you're not doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah,
why not?
Right, but the problem with those motivations is they don't last, right?
Exactly.
Guilt doesn't last, fear doesn't last, pressure doesn't last. And so, yep, it's got to become real in you. Very good. All right. Good questions, guys. Appreciate your time. And let's continue to pray for Pastor Greg. I saw him on Thursday. Very encouraging. When I pulled up, he was outside exercising, so that was a plus. Then he went inside as I was coming out. I had to drop off some things to him. And very awkward talking to him through the window. but we were able to talk, and he said he's doing very well. He said aside from cold-like symptoms, you know, regular flu-like symptoms, he felt good. He was checking his oxygen saturation every hour per his pulmonologist. Things were looking good. Things were looking healthy. Lisa tested positive as well. She was doing good aside from the cold symptoms and then some body aches that she was dealing with. And so we'll just keep praying for them, contending for them, believe God. I'm just praying that, they're saying right now you can be up to 10 days. I'm praying that he's going to be here next Sunday and get the 10 days, 24 hours. He's no fever, etc. So I'm believing God for that. So if you guys will help me pray that way. Yesterday we, the weather's changing. We knew that was going to happen. Yesterday the clouds rolled in, the temperature dropped. It was like 48 around 5 o'clock when we would have had our outreach. It was gusty. So I want you guys to begin to think of outreach opportunities we can do as we move into November, December. Look at the calendar. Look at what's coming up. Think of ways that we can evangelize, think of ways that we can do some things that would draw people in, okay? One of the things that is different about a concert, the concert always hinges on people bringing people in, okay? That's always been part of that. Nobody's coming to hear our amazing music, right? And they're coming because of relationship, etc. And then God gets a hold of them. We're able to preach at them. So in things that we're looking at doing, things that we could do, we want to get people drawn to us so we can evangelize them. Not enough to get people around us. We've got to build a crowd and then be able to preach. So think of ways we can do that. Think of areas we can do that, places we can do that. I really want to challenge you guys to do that and work with Zach on making it happen. Don't just present an idea. Make it happen. Let's execute it and see people saved. So you guys will help that way. It'd be a great way, like we talked about, to put things to the test. So very good. Awesome. Thank you, guys.